Welcome back to the Midday Show, and it's my great pleasure to welcome for his second of two visits today, here is Ray Bonneville.
Long before daylight, the southbound cries, moving through the darkness, soothing empty hearts, waiting on the night, the dark blue night, just a feel all right. Neon shadow pulsing red through the window on to the mess. Footsteps echoing away just before the break of day. Just feel all right. Suitcase under the bed, a lot of things left unsaid. Let us all, they sigh, we belong to the night. From the last kiss of the sun until the night is done, that's when I think of you. Where have you gone to? Waiting on the night, the dark blue night, just to feel all right. Waiting on the night, the dark blue night, just to feel all right.
Ray Bonneville here on the Midday Show. How you doing, Ray? So thanks for waiting around all these hours. Yeah. How you been keeping yourself busy since you saw Rick this morning?
Oh, I went out and got some coffee.
Okay,
and
good.
Yeah, check out the town a little bit. Maybe? You know, there's a good sandwich shop here, and I had one of those really good grilled cheese.
Yeah. Those are really good.
Amazing, really.
Well, it's great to have you, and I'm so glad all this worked out.
Yeah, me too.
You know?
I come to this area looking to meet new people and become part of the community, because I do plan on living here. I've been in New York City for 3 months, I like the city, but it's too much for me to be in the city all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a great area to be able to zip in and zip out.
Right.
And,
You know, I mean, it's one of the many reasons why this part of the state or country is so perfect in a way, because you can be up here and 100% in its own environment here. We have our own kind of culture, I guess you could call it. But then a couple of hours, you're in the heart of the city. That's for anything you want to do.
Yeah, and
there.
I really like the people here.
Me too.
I've been hanging out and I went and played the open mic last night.
Oh, you did end up out there. We saw you at. Yeah. I know we saw you at Colony on Sunday night.
Yeah.
And then you were threatening to do that.
I made good on my threat.
Yeah. How did that work out?
It was great. I mean, I got to hear a lot of interesting writers and people and of all kinds, really. And I played a song and said hello to a few folks. I met Brian Mitchell.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
He was there last night too.
He was there. Yeah, last night. Oh. Yeah. A nice guy, and can't wait to play with the guy sometime.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, if you move up here, I don't even think you'll have a choice. He'll just end up showing up. Guys, that is he's a huge talent, and he's very ubiquitous up here. But it seems like there's such a, I've been up here now 6 years about. I mean, there is such a deep-rooted culture of music.
That's what
music
I like about
here.
It. You know, you can't throw a stick without hitting a studio.
One thing I overheard you earlier this morning with Rick, and you know, I know it was kind of done in a bit of a joke, but you mentioned the Bee Gees, and I remember listening, I guess, to Barry Gibb talk about writing, Night Fever. I think it was Night Fever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was, it was that the one that starts like tick, 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 tick. It starts with kind of a rhythmic start. I might be wrong on the song, but I think it's that one. And he was talking about how he was driving over a bridge and it was the wheels were
the clickety clack,
clickety clack, and he got that, you know, rhythm going.
Mm-hmm.
And so to bring this to you now, and I'm wondering, you know, if some of your songs, because they lean so heavily on rhythm, if where you know you get those inspirations or techniques.
Well, you know, I've just been a really big fan of I lived in New Orleans for six some odd years in the 80s, mm-hmm. and the drummers in New Orleans are just amazing. Mm-hmm. And before I moved to New Orleans, and I listen to old tapes that I made, everything's kind of slightly rushed, and it hasn't learned to take its time yet. But after New Orleans, I realized the importance of the silence between notes and the rhythm that can be caused just by shutting up for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, I love trains and I love I love all that rhythmic stuff. Yeah, and
right.
Yeah. So
you would have been a great Bee Gee. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, those guys, you know, they were really poppy, but they were so great.
Well,
I mean,
yes, right.
Very
back in
hooky.
The UK days, right?
Huh?
Some great songs back in the UK days.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, getting ready for another tune here. I don't know what you selected, but what years were you in? Just before you tell us,
in New Orleans,
what year were you? What years? What were? When were those 6 years?
Between 82 and I had just got back from Paris. I went to live in Paris for a year,
and you couldn't quite wean yourself. Well, or it's a great place to wean yourself if you love Paris.
I loved Paris. Paris was, you know, it's a big, tough city. It's people say, "Oh, Paris, that's all romantic and everything," but really, it's like New York. It's a big, tough city,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I had a gig there at Memphis Slim's Club in the Fifth Arrondissement, called the Memphis Melody, and my gig started at 4:30 in the morning.
Wow.
These stone steps, you know, mm-hmm. and there would be this scene from Fellini down there.
Yeah.
And I would start playing at 4:30 and I'd go home in the daylight traffic.
I would then challenge you and say, I think they're even more intense in terms of their feelings about music, jazz specifically,
mm-hmm.
and perhaps other genres and like cinema. They've got like a... They take it really serious.
Yeah,
there,
yeah, you know? as they should. And to go to New Orleans from there, mm-hmm. you know, my heritage is French. I was born and raised speaking French. I learned English when I was about 14. So speaking of which, I could do a song that is starts off in English but goes into French pretty quick. Ooh, this French Canadian. Oh, it started rain outside. He goes.
Mais oui. Ray Bonville.
She got on the morning plane. She never let on where she was going. She m'a dit, je m'en vais, baby. Moi, j'ai dit, okay, ma belle. Okay, ma belle. Fly all over. Come back home. But I parle tout me devient chez nous. Oh, ma chère, viens dans sa peau. Oh, que belle quand t'as fait dodo. Quand t'es fâché, pas joli. Quand t'es pas là, je m'ennuie d'elle. Je m'ennuie d'elle. Come on, fly all over, but come back home. Pourtant, partout, mais elle vient chez nous. I'm looking up at the sky, stepping on to my tone, baby. Ever since you got on that big avion, that big avion, fly all over, come back home. But I'm partout, mais reviens chez nous. Can you hear me? I've been calling, calling, I've been calling. I'm all alone. Fly all over, but come back home. But I'm partout, mais reviens chez nous. But I'm partout, mais reviens chez nous.
Bonville. Merci, mon ami.
Oui, ça va.
J'ai bien aimé.
Oui. Oui. Merci beaucoup.
I enjoy that very much.
Yeah.
Yeah. De rien. What was that called?
That's called The Blonde of Mine.
A Blonde of Mine.
And, you know, in French Canada, blonde is a term for girlfriend. But in Paris, it's more derogatory.
Okay.
So you got to be careful in Paris saying that. Right.
If you're curious, if you're listening out there and you're curious, find some French person and find out what he's talking about.
Yeah.
You know, where you're not finding out here on the air, apparently. So, hey, in the 80s, since you were in New Orleans, did you get to meet any folks like Daniel Lanois?
I never met Daniel Lanois. You know, but Daniel and I come from the same.
Yeah.
Same part of Ontario.
Right.
Gatineau. It's actually in French.
He writes about that.
In French, across the river from Ottawa is Gatineau, And when I was a kid, it was called Hull. And it, some people probably still call it Hull, but we're from the same region, but I never did meet him. But I met a lot of people in New Orleans, a lot of great musicians and a lot of great
people. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It's a melting pot of the best, isn't it?
So, yeah. And so I started going there in the 70s, back when Professor Longhair was alive, and I caught him a few times playing at Tipitina's.
Yes. And
it just floored me. It just floored me, man.
Yeah.
How good it was.
I got to go there one time to Tipitina. I'm long overdue for another visit. Well, New Orleans, it turns out, was only one of the places you've spent a good portion of your life, right? I mean, you've moved to different places. Obviously, most recently now you're looking at the Hudson Valley. And but I think, let me see if I can remember, if I can recall some of the other spots. Chicago?
No, not Chicago, but...
that was a poor guess.
No,
on my part.
It's okay. Oh, well. I've been to Chicago a few times.
Okay,
but,
I'm sure.
No, I lived in Boston. I lived in
I'm sorry.
Lived in Seattle. I lived in Alaska. I lived in Paris.
What, all right, talk to me a little. I got to know kind of what is behind that.
You know, I just kept moving around. I just so many places to be and to go and to get influenced by. And you know, Seattle, I loved for the water, the Puget Sound there. Mm. And I lived on a boat there. I lived on McCormick's boat. It was called the Buccaneer, and it was the logo in the McCormick's Fish House up on 4th Street. And I somehow wangled my way into taking care of that boat. And for a couple of years, and it was just wonderful living.
Who's McCormick?
McCormick, he was the owner of the restaurant.
I see.
And he had this boat. This old 1941 John Alder design motor sailor. And it was just a poetic boat. I just loved the thing. All my clothes smelled like diesel fuel. You know, it had a big Cummins diesel in it. And it's just a funky thing. And I don't know, man. I just kept from there. I went to Paris, and then I came back to Boston for a few months. Then went down to New Orleans, and from New Orleans, I went back up to Boston. And this was to fly a banner tow airplane, you know, towing the letters behind the airplane.
Yes. Oh, so it was
so I did Cape Cod twice a day, all around the entire beach at 300 feet. Towing this banner that
so you have a pilot license.
Yes, so yes, okay.
Thank goodness you do.
Yes, now I had two careers for about 10 years, and a mistress and a wife, and my wife was music. It had always been music. I've been playing since I was 14 years old, but I just fell in love with airplanes in Boulder, Colorado, where I lived for 7 years in my 20s.
Did you have to sneak playing music at 14 when you started? Did you have to do that sort of under the cover of the night?
No,
because you described your father as somebody who is very, very religious.
Yeah, no, I had a little crystal radio under my pillow when we moved there in 1963. And but when I started playing, my parents were behind it. They were okay with it. You know, because I would have done it anyway. I had a little band in high school called the VIPs, and you know, we had uniforms and skinny black ties, and we played, you know, Roy Orbison, Elvis Presley, you know, the Kinks, Manfred Mann, all kinds of stuff. And and then I got in trouble in high school and went into the military for 3 years, and when I came out, I started playing music again, and never did stop.
To our good fortune, Ray will be performing at the Phoenicia Playhouse as part of their Flying Cat series this Saturday evening.
Yeah.
You can go to the Phoenicia Playhouse website for tickets and details, but I'll be there. And
good.
I hope that those listening, a good number of you will be planning the same.
I'm really looking forward to the Playhouse. Last time I was in Phoenicia, I played a little church. And it was really, really fun and really great. And those people were all very nice. But I heard about this little playhouse, and I love little theaters like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'll be looking forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, well, I'm so glad you will be playing locally again. Okay, well, I think we have time for one more song. I'm pretty sure we can make that happen all if right. you've got something.
Yeah, I was thinking about playing Crow John, which I wrote in Arkansas, where I lived also for 2 years.
Okay.
I went there because of the very poetic White River that runs right through the center of town of Cotter. It's population 921. And I never forget that sign when you pull into town. It says population 921.
Until there was 22. They had to go and fix the sign.
They had to fix the sign, but you know, people were being born too. So
that's true.
Born and
yeah, and the other way around.
Going
yeah.
the other way around. And
yeah.
I went to an auction one night, and I saw this guy there that was very dubious looking character, and this is called Crow John. Shadows on a road across the silver tracks. A murder of crows along a desolate flat. And on their feathers, the blood of crows on. One of their brothers, something gone wrong. Crows. Coming storm, they raggedly fly. A dozen or more against a darkening sky. A murder of jokers with laughing eyes. They killed Crow John, nobody knows why. A Crow John. What you done? Oh, what you done? What you done? A Crow John.
Cat Music Series presents an evening with Ray Bonneville this Saturday, April 11th at 7 o'clock. The Phoenicia Playhouse is at 10 Church Street, Phoenicia. Visit PhoeniciaPlayhouse.com for tickets and other details. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
It's been a pleasure.
Really, really enjoyed it.
Me too.
Good.
All right. You're listening to 98.1 KZE.